This situation in Egypt reminds me a little bit of what happened in Iran, but I don't understand. How can these things happen so quickly?
Well, in the case of Egypt and Tunisia, the new communication revolution has expedited the social and political network among people through an instant expression of their demands, their feelings, their commitments, and their complaints. And as a result of that, the mobilization of the people who have been marginalized or suppressed or have been suffering from extreme poverty or who have genuine complaints about the economic and political situation, suppression of freedoms, has made it much quicker than historically demonstrations and revolutions have taken place. So in this case, what happened in Tunisia, which was totally unexpected, has triggered a sort of an infection to all vulnerable societies, found the opportunity to use the new means of Twittering and the websites and the all the mechanisms of new communication to bring about into focus their demands and their commitments and their insistence on correcting the flaws that have marginalized their lives, have caused sufferings, have caused the impoverishment of many people and have missed the opportunities, and especially as in the case of Egypt at this moment with the graduates and the students graduating without any work, without any
frustrating for them.
Frustrations, and with much frustrations, they have decided to undertake the initiative to demonstrate and bring into focus the imperative needs to remove all the forces or the factors that have obstructed their quality of life and their human rights and their democratic freedoms. And in that respect, what is happening in Egypt today is that after many, many years of stability that has been inflicted or imposed by the many of the restrictions that any authoritarian regime imposes, was compounded by the peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, which made it lose its central position in the Arab world and allowed many others to retreat from engagement, leaving the Palestinian issue suspended. And the United States, in this respect, and I would like to read just one sentence from the New York Times of yesterday, where after an explanation of the speeches that President Obama and earlier Secretary Rice during the Bush administration made, in all this, they said, all of this is why both of those Cairo speeches, for all their oratorical differences, and I'm quoting yesterday's New York Times editorials and said, may not really have mattered at the end of the day. Middle East experts said American governments need a partner in Egypt who supports the keystone of America's Middle East policy. And Hosni Mubarak has been that partner for 30 years. Quote, the Israeli-Egyptian peace treaty is the pillar of the structure of the Middle East, according to Ambassador Jerry Jan, a former American ambassador to Israel and Syria. Quote, if the peace agreement goes asunder, everything falls apart.
And it is falling.
That is the end of the quote. Now, what is the significance of this? The significance of this is that after the peace treaty, there was a promise that the Palestinian rights would be restored. Well, we have witnessed for the last since the Oslo Agreement and the peace agreement.
Never happened.
It never happened. And what happens is instead that promises of peace agreement, they neutralize the capacity of Egypt to deter the expansion, the settlements that Israel was inflicting on the Palestinian territories, and hoping, especially after President Obama came, asking the Israelis to freeze settlements, although freezing settlements is an impossibility because all these people are going to have families expand. Yet the settlements themselves are an indication that Israel does not acknowledge the responsibilities of an occupier, but it has a manifest destiny in expanding the area of Israel into territories, especially in the Palestinian arena. In that respect, Egypt, which was supposed to be a force of deterring Israel through the peace, became more or less consciously or unconsciously a facilitator for the impunity that Israel could inflict, and the fact that that Egypt could not respond to it.
Now, these people who are protesting, who probably could get Mubarak to leave office. I mean, I think that's going to happen now. Who will replace him, Clovis?
After 30 years in power, has refused to appoint a vice president. At this moment, he replaced him with somebody who is more or less of the same vintage.
Right.
And that is the director of intelligence. And now that director of intelligence, who has been in charge of the peace negotiations between Israelis and the Palestinians, have not succeeded either to persuade, nor has the American administration constrained by the effect that while the priority of the financial situation, the economic conditions of the United States, the challenge to health legislation, mm-hmm. social security, etc., are the priorities. On the other hand, the fact has been compounded now by the Republicans assuming the majority responsibility in the House of Representatives, a reduced Democratic majority in the Senate. So these elements, when you have 76 senators and around 320 or 330 congressmen signing on anything that Israel's lobby wants, naturally there is a paralysis, and the United States cannot break through into becoming a honest broker, although the intentions of being an honest broker are usually articulated in speeches and orations.